welcome to a mixed martial arts and pro wrestling based podcast, a place where we love a shoot and a work. I am your host, Ian Hurst, and this is the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to Fight Predictions. This one is for Fight Night. Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad. Second to last one of season one. It's close to being over. It's nearly over. Yeah. Joining me as always is the current champ, Musa Christian.
It's never over till it's over, mate.
It's never over.
It's never over till it's over. You never seen Rocky?
I mean, it should be me saying that since I'm 20 points behind.
I'm just trying to make it a bit more exciting. You're ruining it already.
Yeah. It's not just the competition.
Don't bother listening, guys, because it doesn't matter. Ian's already given up.
No, it's not just about that. I enjoy the fights anyway.
Yeah, of course.
So what do you think to UFC 259 last weekend?
Hell of a card. Hell of a card. Brilliant, yeah. A few shocks.
Dominic Cruz was a shock.
Well, not for me, mate. I picked him.
Oh, I think you gave him one confidence point.
Confidence point is a confidence point, though.
History usually shows, though, that sort of inactivity, age, you're not going to beat the young up-and-comers. It's rare that it ever happens.
Yeah.
And he pulled it off.
I actually got 6 out of 7 right in that card.
I know, you had a great card.
Yeah, yeah.
24 points you scored. I think that's probably the best you've ever done.
To be fair, I think we got lucky with the Aljo one, didn't we, really? Because
got lucky with that one, yeah.
Yeah.
I know I'm picking in the rematch. I've seen the fight play out, so.
Yeah, yeah, but you don't know. Maybe Aljamain goes away and makes the adjustments.
Maybe. Or just Petey Ann knocks him out now.
Yeah,
you don't know.
He even beat him in the wrestling exchanges, to be fair, which I wasn't expecting.
He could still beat him, but you can see who the favourite is now.
I think if Jan had been a bit more aggressive with his grappling, he could have put him away. It was like, Jan was taking him down. Even in some positions, he took his back and everything, and his corner were going, no, don't grapple with him. Break away. Yeah. It's like, if you've got someone's back, you're not in any danger. Like,
Aljo's grappling style was very risky. Everything he did was he was taking loads of risks.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was a great fight up until the end.
It was, yeah.
Well, it was fun to watch, but you could see Aljo slowly sort of wearing down.
And had a hell of a first round, but I thought when he came out, he was like an energizer bunny. He was all over the place, put a bit too much into
it. And he didn't seem to slow down. That
killer,
power stayed there, just stone-faced. Yeah, that was good. But it was good watching Dominic Cruz for me.
Yeah.
I was happy to see it. I mean, I didn't realise Casey Kenny was so small, a former flyweight coming up. As soon as I saw him, I was like, Jesus, he's tiny.
Yeah. Dominic Cruz is traditionally a bigger bantamweight compared to the old.
Same height as me.
Yeah.
He's a bit thinner, but he's not a big bantamweight.
Not compared to modern bantamweights, but traditionally he's more of a...
When he was fighting the Benavidez and the Johnsons, he looked a lot bigger. But yeah, it was nice to see him sort of turn back the clock. The Thiago Santos-Alexander Rakic fight, what do you think?
I mean, I would have liked to see him go for it a bit more, but Alexander Rakic, the thing is, it's easy to say that, go for it a bit more. They're fighting, they lose half their purse if they
Santos
go for it and
hits
get caught.
Hard as well.
And Santos is a tough matchup. If he hits you, you're going to sleep, aren't you? So I don't think
it's
Rakic
weird.
Is
it just feels like he's fell off, Santos. He was like the next big hope at one point.
I don't know if it's a knee injury or what.
Age or, I don't know, double knee surgery.
You never come back properly at that age, do you, after double knee surgery?
He doesn't seem as fast.
No, he doesn't.
You'd like to think, you expect Benavidez is probably done.
Yeah, I think so. I think he should be.
Islam Makhachev, Drew Dober.
Wow. Amazing fight. Incredible. I love his style of wrestling, Makhachev. He doesn't seem to put 100% into any takedown. It's not like the American style, like a Michael Chandler or Chad Mendes just blast through. Everything's really technical. Like, he never seems to be going more than 60% when he wrestles, which is mad little trips.
I don't think Drew Dober lost much sort of stock in that either.
I don't.
I think he beats a lot of the top guys still. I don't know if he'll ever be top, but...
No, I think he's still a good guy. I think we've got to touch on Rogan's ridiculous commentary.
You were well pissed off, weren't you? You were messaging me just so angry.
Just specifically in that fight, Rogan said, I think Drew Dober was the most underrated fighter on the planet. Where has that come from? Like, he is an underrated fighter, he definitely was.
Yeah.
But he just comes out of the most ridiculous things. Like.
I know you was messaging me about the Blakovic Adesanya, and I know it was quite a big topic.
Yeah.
Sort of like everywhere was sort of talking about it, but you were messaging me in real time, just angry.
Yeah, I almost turned the commentary off because I was like, are these watching the same fight? He was saying, oh, Blachowicz is getting pieced up here. He doesn't want to get in the strength changes. Then just as he said that, the stats came up on the bottom of the screen. And Blachowicz was winning in the round in every single in every single stat striking wise. Like,
yeah.
And he could, he's biting on these feints. Yeah, you don't score points by making someone bite on a feint.
Like, I think I didn't think it was too bad, but only because I'm just used to Joe Rogan just like you say, he sort of finds a narrative and he just sticks with it. Doesn't matter if the fight completely changes.
Yeah.
He just keeps hammering that same.
And a lot of people are saying about the UFC have given him a narrative. That's not the truth. I don't think Joe Rogan can be
told. It's how he is. It's
just how he is. Yeah. You get, like you say, we often watch old fights, don't we, from like early 2000s and stuff. And when we watch him, a few times we've been laughing. But he'll be talking about someone's grappling dominance and how he's got all these grappling credentials. What's the guy's like just getting out of grapple? He'll just still be pushing that line. And it's like, come on, think on the spot a bit, Joe.
Yeah, he never switches. He's a big puncher that'll be getting just picked apart. And he's like, he's still got that shot. He still could land it. And it's still there. And it's like, just what about the other guy? What about the other guy? Highlight him.
But still a massive fan of Joe. And I'm sure he does listen to this podcast. I'm sure he'll be sat at home listening to this podcast.
Taking
if you want
some
me on the
notes.
Show, yeah. If you want me on the show, Joe, me and Ian, just.
If you want any pointers, we're.
Yeah, always happy to help in any respect.
Won't cost too much, won't charge you that much. What about Amanda Nunes, Megan Anderson? I don't know if you've seen this. Megan Anderson's been cut.
I don't think she's been cut. I think her contract just ran out.
Oh, right, yeah. But they're not going to renew it.
Well, why? Mate.
I think they'll get rid of the division now.
I feel so sorry for anyone that was listening last week who kind of bought into Ian's narrative and put money on it. So if you want to message him to get some like, sort of refund.
It was more the fact that I was 11 points behind and I was trying to find a way to get back. So I only put one confidence point on it because I wasn't confident.
I was just
trying to find a way in. Problem is, I'm now 20 points behind. So with two cards to go. Technically, there's a path for me to still get in the lead on two cards.
Yeah.
But it's not very likely.
It's mathematically possible.
I took too many risks on that last card just for the sake of the competition.
Who dares wins and all that.
But I don't know what they do with Amanda Nunes now. I think she goes back to 135 and that's that. I don't think they're going to do 145.
What's the point? Maybe have a... Anyway. I want to see her have a fight Gabby Garcia in a super catchweight fight.
Yeah.
Open weight.
And she's just been tapped by like a 64 kilogram.
Yeah, girl. I still think Amanda Nunes beats Gabby Garcia, which would be fun to watch, innit, I guess. Other than that...
It's just a shame we never got to see the Cyborg rematch.
Yeah. Other than that Cyborg rematch, the only fight I could think of that excites me a little bit is Shevchenko.
Again? Yeah. Again. They've done it twice.
Done it twice, but maybe...
Second one was better than the first.
Maybe
closer.
Give Shevchenko some time to put some, like, I don't know, pack a bit of money. Maybe, I don't know, jump up.
She's got Andrade next.
Yeah, that's a good fight as well.
That's in the next month or so.
That's a brilliant fight.
So that'll be on season two of predictions.
125 so much, got such more depth of talent women's wise than 135.
Yeah, 115, 125, 135.
Yeah.
They're great then.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
145, like you said, no depth.
No depth, no depth at all. I don't think they even have a rankings today. If they do, I don't know. Have they got enough to do a top 10?
No, they ain't got rankings.
Yeah.
They ain't got any rankings.
Makes sense. They made that belt for Cyborg, didn't they, really?
Well, I think they've only got one women's 145 fight booked at the minute. Out of the next 3 or 4 months, there's one fight booked now. It's Felicia Spencer, who's just lost to Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
I can't remember the girl she's fighting. I can't remember her name, but I know she's 1-0.
Yeah.
And she's in the UFC at 1-0. Crazy.
I might start going down the trans route, maybe. Just say I identify as a woman. Can make 145.
145, yeah.
Probably won't beat Nunes, though, to be fair. So. But I could be the number two in the world.
Well, yeah. But. Right, so let's get on with this then. So let's get straight in. So fight night, Leon Edwards, Rocky Edwards against Bilal, remember the name, Muhammad. So I think that's a great fight. Some of the other fights on the card aren't too spectacular. But this is the second to last of the season. And then we're going to have a couple of weeks off. Then we'll be doing... Miocic versus Ngannou. I think you might be fighting that weekend as well, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But that'll be the last one of the season.
Get me in doing predictions when I'm like cutting weight. Grouchy.
Well, it'll be like
one word answers.
It'll be like 4 or 5 days out of the fight, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll be alright.
But that's the big card. That's the finale. But this is a nice little one. Finally seeing Leon Rocky Edwards back.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him back after a couple of years.
Definitely.
It's interesting. So let's get straight into this then. So there was Ben Rothwell versus Felipe Lins. That's dropped off today or yesterday. So we're going to add in Davy Grant versus Jonathan Martinez as the first fight on the card. I think it was on the prelims. I think they've bumped it now to the main card.
Yeah, yeah. Good for Davy Grant.
Yep, both unranked. So who have you got and how many points?
See, I really like Davy Grant, British lad. He struggled really in the UFC because he's had a lot of injuries. I think in the last seven years, he's fought five times.
Yep.
Which isn't, do you know what I mean, isn't brilliant. You, like, ring rust is a thing. You need to keep going and keep active, really.
Yeah. He keeps getting a lot of hype and then
yeah,
it disappears for a bit and he loses that momentum.
He's always had fantastic grappling, Davy Grant, but lately I think he's been, do you know what I mean, he got a performance of the night against Martin Day and he came out with a bit more of a brawling style, but I think that could be a detriment to him in this fight because I think if he comes out and tries to brawl with Martinez, I think Martinez is going to just tune him up in the striking. I think he's got more firepower. He's the better striker.
Yeah.
And Martinez's takedown defense actually is improving. So I think if David Grant can't get this to the ground, it's going to be a long night for him. And I hate to go against the British guys, and I really do like David Grant.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for Martinez, and I'm going to go for 6 points.
6 points on Martinez. 6 points
on Martinez, yeah.
So David Grant, 35 years old, 12-4. Martinez, 26, 13-3. Grant's 3-2 in his last five, and Martinez is 4-1 in his last five. I'm the same with you on this one.
Yeah.
Martinez is young. Let me just check. I'm sure he had some time outside the... No, I'm thinking of a different fight. There's a few fights on this card where there's a couple of guys that's fought in the UFC, dropped out the UFC and come back in.
Yeah.
I thought he was one of them, but he's not. But yeah, Jonathan Martinez, young, hungry, 4-1. I'm going to go... I don't want to because I like Davy Grant. I'm going to go 4 confidence points on Martinez.
Yeah.
Yeah,
feel a bit of a Judas, don't you, doing it? But
yeah,
you've got to. I mean, the competition's all important.
So next fight. So we've already done this on one of the other cards, so I'll just skip over it fairly quick. Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder. We both put 5 confidence points on Hill, so it'll not make a difference to the competition. It didn't get cancelled; it got rearranged, so that prediction will stand.
Yeah.
So that one's done. So Angela Hill, Ashley Yoder, we've both got 5 confidence points. Next fight: Eric Anders versus Darren Stewart. Who have you got?
This one's a really, really interesting fight. I really like Darren Stewart. I think he's exciting. I think he's skilled. I think it's funny, this one, because if you look at the stats, Anders, who I do rate as well, won 3 out of his first 4 in the UFC.
Yep.
Darren Stewart actually got off to an 0-3 start in the UFC.
Yep.
I think the fact he was British is maybe the only thing, and he had exciting fights, was maybe the only thing that kept him in there, because they do like the British guys, don't they, for the UK crowd. But they've kind of gone in opposite directions. Darren Stewart's found his feet. He's had some really good performances. And Eric Anders hasn't really lived up to the potential that we all thought he had.
No, he went up to light heavyweight for one, I think.
He did, yeah. It
didn't work out for him.
Didn't work out of it. And I just think that Darren Stewart just deals with adversity better than Anders. I think he's got more power. I think if there's going to be a finish in this fight, it'll be Darren Stewart on the feet. And I don't think Anders has got incredible wrestling that's going to be too much for Darren Stewart to keep it standing. I think Darren Stewart does enough. I think he possibly even finishes him. And I'm going to put 5 points on Darren Stewart, the dentist.
Right. So Eric Anders, 13-5. Stewart, 12-6. Anders is 2-3 in his last 5. I've got down Stewart was previously in the UFC from November 2016 to October 2019. He went 4-4-1.
Wow.
Lost a decision in Cage Warriors. And then got brought back to the UFC. I'm assuming it's short notice.
Yeah.
And he got a win, and then he lost his last one.
Okay. I didn't even know he dropped out. So he went to Cage Warriors with it, didn't he?
Yeah, fought on Cage Warriors. Let me just find his...
That's unusual. Imagine dropping down to Cage Warriors, losing a fight, and coming back to UFC.
I was surprised with that.
And it annoys me a little bit, though, because you got people like Brendan Loughnane, who I think is like possibly the best featherweight to ever come out of the UK, not getting in the UFC. He hasn't lost a fight in fucking... in ever. Do you know what I mean? It's mental, yeah, isn't it?
Before... Bartosz Fabinski.
Okay, and is that kid in the UFC now?
That was the main event of Cage Warriors. That was back in, that was March 2020, so it was a year ago.
And did that kid get in the UFC?
Let's have a look. His last fight was UFC, September 2020, and he lost to Moonids.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's funny, to get in the UFC, it's not just hard work and talent, it's a lot of who you know, and it's a lot of just a bit of luck.
There's a good chance he lost that one, well, he did lose that one, and there's a good chance that they needed a short notice replacement. He stepped in and he got the win.
Well, fair play to him.
So he's got the contract.
Yeah.
Lost his last one, so this is probably a do or die one for this. If he loses this, he might get caught.
Yeah.
Eric Anders, I'm a big fan of Eric Anders. He stepped up to light heavyweight. Like I say, he's 2-3, which isn't great, but he's game and he hits hard. I'm going to go Eric Anders, 6 confidence points.
Wow, so we've gone totally opposite there.
Opposite. So next fight, Manuel Capé against Mathios.
Yeah.
I think he's Greek. Mathios Nicolaou.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manuel Capé versus Mathios Nicolaou. Who have you got?
See, this one's a funny one because if you remember, I was really high on Capé before. We fought previously, didn't we? And I picked him to win.
I think I went with the other guy.
You did. You went with the other guy. And your point was, I was saying, oh, he's a rising champion. He's fought at the highest level. Your point was,
the other guy was experienced.
UFC.
Yeah.
That was it.
He wasn't, he'd not got a gleaming record, but he had a winning record and he had experience and that comfort.
In that UFC cage with the lights on you and you were bang on right. My thinking with this one is, I'm still high on him. I still think he's a fantastic fighter. And that fight was close. But I think now he might have found his feet a little bit. He knows what to expect. So yeah, I was a little bit disappointed in him last time, but I think Capé is like a fantastic talent and I think he could go up to be one of the top guys in that division. So I'm going to give Capé 2 points.
Yep, so this is another fight where we've got a guy that's dropped out of the UFC and then come back in. So Capé, 15-5, 27 years old. Nicolaou, 15-3-1, 28 years old. Like you say, Capé fought the 6th of February, losing a decision.
18 fights, how old was he? 28?
27.
He's had 18 pro fights already.
Yep.
Jesus.
The other guy's 28. He's 15-3-1, so he's had 19.
Wow, yeah, incredible.
It's a very well matched fight, this.
Yeah.
Mathios was 3-1 previously in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went outside the UFC. I'm not sure why. I couldn't find out. I was having a look. He went 2-0 outside the UFC, and this is his first fight back in the UFC.
Yeah.
1 second. Let me just double check. Yes, he was on the Ultimate Fighter Brazil in 2015, then he was in the UFC until 2018, got KO'd by Dustin Ortiz, but before that he was on a 3-fight win streak, even beating Luis Somoka, who was pretty high competition. Went outside the UFC, got a sub, got a decision, and now he's back. I think this is a very well matched fight. So I am going to go Nicolaou, 1 confidence point.
Right.
Next fight, Dan Ige versus Gavin Tucker. Who have you got? I think this is an amazing fight, this.
Awesome fight.
Well matched again. Who have you got?
Dan Ige was on a 6-fight win streak, and then he lost to Calvin Kattar.
Yep.
And that, I don't think that damages anybody's stock. Calvin Kattar.
No, he lost a decision to him as well. It's not like he got knocked out.
And Calvin Kattar can beat anybody on his
day. Oh, yeah.
Got a nice, he's a well-rounded fighter. 3 wins by knockout, 5 by submission, 6 by decision. I just think Ige's got a bit more about him. I just really rate him as a fighter. I think he's probably got the better stand-up of the two. I don't think he's easy. He's got good grappling. He's got good wrestling defense. I can't see him getting taken down and controlled. Strong athletic kid. I think Dan Ige takes this. I'm going to put 3 points on it. But again, it's a close fight.
Yeah, it's another well-matched fight. It's not the biggest names on this card, and they're not like superstars yet.
No.
But there's some great match fights. And there's some serious fighters on it.
These are the cards that are usually better.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when it's all big names and it doesn't live up to expectation.
Yeah.
You go into this, you might not. This is where people emerge.
Especially this fight as well.
Yeah.
Dan Ige is not one to have a boring fight. Like you say, he was 6-0 before losing the decision to Kattar. Took us 3-0, and he's got 10 finishes out of his 13 fights.
Whew.
So he finishes a lot of his fights. I think it's a very well matched fight. Dan Ige is only 29, 14-3. Tucker 13-1, really good record. He's 34. I think Ige might edge this. I'm a big fan of his. I'd like to see him step into that top 10. Oh, sorry. I'd like to see him step into that top 5. He's already ranked 9th. Tucker's unranked. I'd like to see him move towards that top 5 and freshen up that division a little bit. I'm going to go 3 confidence points on Dan Ige. Next fight, co-main event, heavyweight fight. Light heavyweight fight. Misha Cirkunov.
Cirkunov versus Ryan Spann.
Ryan Spann. Who have you got?
Spann, man. This one's a really intriguing fight. This probably is one that I think, it probably won't be a close fight because it'll probably go one way or the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I can't pick which way it's going to go. I'm struggling.
I was like this.
I think Cirkunov, his path to victory is to get it to the ground. He's got excellent grappling. And I think Ryan Spann's path to victory is to spark him out and beat him up. Ryan Spann's got excellent power, good striking, And Serkinov's chin is a bit suspect. He has been knocked out 3 in his last 5.
Yeah.
At light heavyweight, like I say, it might not be that his chin's suspect, but light heavyweight, the big guys, they hit hard.
They hit hard.
I'm leaning towards Serkinov taking him down and submitting him, to be honest. Could be wrong, but I think Serkinov's got enough about him to get it to the floor. If he doesn't get it to the floor, it's going to be a fucking long night for him. I think he might get sparked out. But I'm going to stick with Serkinov. I'm going to just put the 1 point on it.
Yeah, clever. I've gone a bit of a different way, but 1 point would make sense with this one. So we've got Misha Serkinov ranked 11th.
Yeah.
Ryan Spann, 13th. I've not seen Ryan Spann yet, even though he's ranked 13th. I don't think I've seen him fight. Serkinov, 15-5. Spann, 18-6. Like I say, he's 2-3 in his last 5, Serkinov. All 5 fights finished in the first round. So whether he won or lost, it was all in the first round.
Wow.
So I think he doesn't seem to know how to take his time, or he either goes for the kill or he gets killed.
That seems to
be his way. He hasn't fought since September 2019.
Oh, that's a long way off that.
Yep. Ryan Spann, he's 4-1 in his last 5. And they've both been knocked out in the first round by Johnny Walker. I'm going to go, just because of the layoff and the fact he can't seem to get out of the first round, I'm going to go Ryan Spann, 5 confidence points.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Main event time. Now, this is what we're here for. This is the rest of them. It'll be fun to sort of watch, but this is what we want to see. This is the biggest stakes on the entire card, easily. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's come out today. If Edwards wins this fight, he's fighting for the belt next.
Oh, is he? Is that what they've said?
They've nailed it on today, yeah. That's what Dana White said.
So no,
if he definitely wins, he's definitely fighting for a belt next.
That's incredible. That's what he said. Really good. I thought Dana would probably think there'd be more money in the Masvidal fight.
It might be just to hype this card just before it's on.
Good shout, yeah.
But he said it's definitely happening, but you can't trust him. But Bilal Muhammad's the spoiler in this one.
Yeah.
But it could be anyway. Edwards versus Muhammad. Who have you got and how many points?
Listen, I really like Leon Edwards. I think he's the best chance for the UK guy to pick up the belt the soonest, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's an incredible martial artist, so well-rounded, really cerebral. His fight IQ is really high. He seems to be able to... He never rushes, and he seems to be able to nullify people at their own games. Like, he was out grappling Gunnar Nelson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Beat Dos Anjos.
Against Cerrone. Cerrone just stood there, just didn't look like he knew what to do.
No. Leon Edwards is... I think Till's probably, out of the two British guys that I think could win a title soon as Till and Leon, I think Till's got the, Till's the more talented of the two, naturally, maybe.
They did talk about fighting, but that was a while ago, and
obviously
Till's a lot bigger
now.
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Leon Edwards has got the better fight IQ. I think he's a more well-rounded martial artist.
Yeah.
Bilal Muhammad, though, is an absolute beast, and I love it. He pushes the pace, and I think he's going to come out in the first round, and I think he's going to really try and stick it on Edwards. And I could see Edwards possibly losing the first round, but then I think Edwards will start to take over. I think he's technically the better striker. He hasn't got a lot of power. He doesn't finish people a lot.
No.
But I think he's going to start to pick Muhammad apart, and I think he'll beat him in the grappling exchanges as well. I can't see... The only path I see to Bilal Muhammad winning this fight is to come out early and catch him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think the longer it goes on, I think Edwards just starts to take over the fight. So I see Edwards winning this one, and I'm going to put 4 confidence points on it.
Yeah. That's the smart way to go. Leon's on an 8-fight win streak. Last fought July 2019, so it has been a while. That's the worry at that level as well.
Yeah.
It can make a big difference. But like you say, lucky for him, he's a smart fighter.
Yeah.
They seem to favour those long layoffs.
Yeah.
Not
like someone like Conor, for example, who...
But Bilal's 8-1 in his last 9. That's good as well. That's impressive. Only losing to Dariush.
Who
can be anyone on his day.
Yeah.
And he last fought on Valentine's Day, 14th of February.
Yeah.
Took some big leg kicks, so that's a little bit suspect, but I think he's had long enough to heal.
Yeah.
A full month. I think he should be healed up.
If it's muscular, it heals.
For me, I think at that level, to have such a long time off against a guy that's active, like you say, that first round's going to be crucial. Bilal's going to be comfortable in there straight away. He's only been in there 3 or 4 weeks ago.
He won't even have to push himself in this camp either. He'll be able to just carry on. Like, do you know what I mean? He'll be able to cruise because he's already in shape. He's peaked for that fight.
Yep.
And he's just cruised this month to here.
Yeah, so. Looked really impressive in that fight as well.
Very impressive, yeah.
Just because he's been more active, and I think it'll really shake things up. I want to see Leon win because he's British, and I want to support our guys. But he's the second one on the card I'm going to have to go against. And again, I like to go with a busier guy. So I'm going to go 2 confidence points on Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah.
So that'll do it today then. So we'll have a couple of weeks off after this. And then we'll be doing the end of March. So, yeah, we're not doing... It's not the same week that you fight. You fight the week that we're supposed to be starting season 2, I think.
Season 2, right, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So when I pick up the belt on this next show that I'm fighting on, I'll be like triple champ, WFMC champ, K-Steel champ, and more importantly, the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast Predictions champion.
Yeah, going into season 2.
I have achieved everything I start to achieve if I win this belt.
Yeah, like when they say that a true champion's got to defend, so.
They do, yeah.
We'll see. But obviously, so a couple of weeks off after this one, we'll come back for the Stipe Miocic versus Ngannou fight, and then that's the end of season 1. That'll be the final one. We'll have 2 or 3 weeks off. We come back, I think it's that weekend, the 12th or the 13th. We'll try and make it happen. All will be joining us then, so it'll be a 3-person fight predictions, and then we'll go from there. But obviously, your fight's more important than this at the minute. But we'll make it work. It's not as if it's physically too tiring.
No, it's good. It distracts you as well, yeah. And I enjoy doing it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's why we do this, don't we?
Exactly. So follow us on Instagram at @thecpwpod. And we'll see you on the last one of season 1.
Miocic and Ngannou.
That's it. Pants down, thumbs up. See you later.